This is the 4-0 Written All Over It podcast.
Hi there, everybody. Welcome back to the 4-0 Written All Over It podcast. As always, Ollie and I are back and ready to go, and I'm looking forward to the first fully positive podcast since you started doing them. You said if we came out on the pitch fighting under Mourinho in the last episode...
Mourinho?
Oh, crikey.
Mourinho, we've got a new manager again.
See, now, this is the thing. I know this is just a couple of seconds in, so welcome, everybody. I've been told by three separate people three different ways of pronouncing John's surname. Messinho, or Messino. I don't know. Because a Portuguese viewer on 4-0 Written All Over It reliably informed me it was like Mourinho, so Messinho. So Messine with a yo on the end, Y-O.
Yeah.
The stadium announcer said, Messino. Please welcome to the pitch, John Messino. Henry, who's a guy who does the digital social content stuff at Pompey, called him Messinho in a interview, or mentioned him. Anyway, we're going to try and work out how to pronounce his surname.
I would like to say it's probably not Messinho. Because there's only one I. It's not Messine.
But how do you say Jose Mourinho? And that's only got one I as well.
That is a very good
happy
point.
Birthday today, Jose, by the way. It's his birthday today. Yeah.
His and my brother's. Not yes. You.
No.
The older one.
Did you speak to him today?
Of course.
Yeah, I reckon this one as well. Anyway, sorry. So if people are listening to this.
Yeah.
You said if we came out fighting under John, we'll say John for now, we'll work out how to say it by the next episode.
Maybe we'll just have to ask him.
Well.
That'd be best, I think. Maybe
he was asked, and he was asked, I haven't actually heard the interview, but I think he said Messinho.
Messinho.
It's a Portuguese surname.
So because he is part Portuguese, isn't he?
If it's Mourinho, then I would suggest it's Messinho.
Messinho. Yeah, that's fine.
I think that's... Because it can't be Messino, because that sounds rubbish. Sorry, John, if it is Messino. You said if we came out on the pitch fighting under him, then you'd be happy. Are you happy?
Yes. In short, yeah, extremely. Obviously, it's been a interesting week for us and football. It's been a very speculative week. We weren't sure what we were going to anticipate actually happening coming into a couple of games under John. I'm very pleased that the results have gone the way they have. You know, I think it was something the club massively needed. You know, it's pushed us right back up the table, given us a bit of confidence, a couple of wins on the bounce, fills the players with confidence as well, which is a great thing. It does sometimes make me think, how much is it the manager's impact initially? Or is it more down to the fact the players are now more fighting for their spaces than they used to be?
Or is it a confidence thing, many have asked?
Exactly right. I think... At the end of the day, obviously, the manager gives a direction of how he wants the team to play. And we've had a couple of good wins there, you know, an away win and a good home win against Exeter. I'm extremely happy, yeah. I think that every fan should share that as well. To, you know, even the ones that were against the appointment initially can see that there's been a positive impact already. We are only two games in, so we're not going to get overly carried away about it at this point. But it is obviously an exciting change and a move in the right direction for us.
You've spoken about the away win and the home win. We're going to delve into them a little bit, discuss them. Matt Macy, our brand new goalkeeper, has been outrageously good. He's been chucked in at the deep end, just as the new manager has, really. They were both announced last Friday, so it's not even been a week at the club for either of them. He's pulled off some remarkable saves that have defined our last two games, and he's got a real kick on him as well. I don't remember a decent kick on a keeper in quite some time, as in from the ground upwards. Mm. You know when a keeper can just plough it and you so much confidence. You know what I mean, though? When he can really get his foot behind it, he's massive as well. He's 6'7".
Yeah, he's not short, is he?
No, he's not, no.
He's not a Pepe Reina, 5'9".
No, but we haven't really had short keepers in the past. And I don't think his height is his USP. I think the fantastic performances he's been putting in... We could have lost that game against Exeter quite easily. We could have been 2-0 down and out of sight in by half time. Equally against Fleetwood, especially when we had 10 men, he pulled off a few really important saves that kept the clean sheet. And again, two games for him, just as much as it's two games for the new manager, but good signs.
Yeah, I think that obviously every player in every position is valuable. Everyone needs to be working together. Keepers sometimes is a bit of a tricky one because... I think it can be difficult being a keeper, you know. I think it's quite a hard job because you're firstly, obviously, you're only playing on the pitch that's allowed to pick up the ball. So yes. You're training.
Very well pointed out. Exactly. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, so if anyone didn't realise, that is one of the rules of football. But more that it must be hard for them to train, you know, in amongst with a team of footballers that are playing much amongst their feet. I know there's a lot of keepers in the Premiership now that have to use their feet. You know, Man City very much play a sweeper-keeper type role. And we see a lot more of that filtering through football now.
You've got to be confident.
Yeah, exactly. So I think it's becoming a more dynamic role being a keeper. It's gone on the days of the old bastion of English sport where you just chuck a couple of saves in and you hold on to it. You know, the old Seaman W that he used to have to hold the ball and catch it with and all those kind of things. But it does make a huge difference to a team because at the end of the day, you can win or lose a game being a keeper. You know, you let in an absolute stinker like Lloris did against Arsenal.
Well, like Jamal Blackman did against us on Saturday. I don't know if you... For Joe Morel's goal.
Yeah, that fumbled through. And that's the difference, isn't it, in those kind of games. You know, that inevitably throughout games, both teams are going to have shots. Mm. I can't imagine there's been very many games in history where one of the sides haven't had a shot at goal at any point during the game.
And you're going to be challenged in League One, aren't you?
Yeah, exactly, Ron. League One is a very competitive league. It's very up and down a pitch. There's a lot of opportunities. You know, most games you see, we have... You know, 12 to 14 shots on goal, and then obviously a handful of them on target. So a bad keeper could let in four of those, and a good keeper could save four of those, and that makes such a difference to the end result of the game because inevitably those chances will sneak through the defence. So having Matt Macey in goal has obviously been a massive positive with the performance he's put in so far. So hopefully he can continue to grow in that role and do much the same for the rest of the season.
Zach Swanson, signing the season contender for me, and he had a fantastic game against Exeter, and for him to stretch as he did to get the ball in for Marlon Pack-Screamer to open the scoring on Saturday, the work rate and decision-making that he showed at Fleetwood, every performance is an 8 or a 9, or sometimes even a 10 if he's had a perfect game. He's bound to make a mistake at his age and any age really playing football. He loves the celebration as well. What have you made of him so far?
I think he's been a fantastic addition to the team. You know, it's very clear to me why he was able to play at the level that he was. It was a shame, really, that he wasn't given any much more of an opportunity under Arsenal. Even, you know, he went out on loan for obviously a season there, didn't play an awful lot of games. So it's not given him a real opportunity to showcase himself as a footballer. But I think, obviously, coming into our setup, we've had a fantastic opportunity to sign a very... very good young footballer. And let's face it, we've missed a real right back for a few years now. You know, we've kind of filled the space and we've had what is right mids almost dropping into that space or centre mids moving over on certain occasions just to get a man in that area or playing three at the back to avoid having a right back. You know, we've done that a number of times. It's nice to have a real solid person at right back. Who can push forward, who can create opportunities, but also is very solid in defence. You know, like I said in the Tottenham podcast, my friend who's a Tottenham fan messaged me about how well he opposed Son throughout that game. Mm. And it just goes to show that he's playing at a much higher level, I think, than some of the other players in the team.
Yeah, he commands that area of the pitch that he's given so well, doesn't he? I think, as I said, he's got a mistake in him, but almost every decision that you see the kid make is the right one, and he's playing with a real football head on him. I think that's maybe something easy to say, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, I mean, there's people, obviously, you watch football, and there's some very immensely talented people that play football. You know, it through every level. You can see it at every level. And I think the difference between being at a higher level is your ability to consider what's going on around you in the game whilst playing it. Mm. To have that mental ability to take in all your surroundings, to understand the situation, to read the game, and to perform at a level that obviously he is playing at. You know, he really is. We say about him making the odd mistake here and there, but find me a player that doesn't in this sort of league. You know, you're going to be making mistakes at this level. So that's not unheard of. And he's obviously still very young. He's got a lot to learn. But you look at some of the better players in the world, the reason why they're there is because of how they read a game and how they involve themselves in each performance and how they understand the consequences of what's going on around them. One of my friends who played at quite a good level, he spoke to me about how when he was in the Tottenham setup, when he was younger, they used to give him clips of his games. And they used to sit down and go, they'd have a tactician sat with them and they'd run through it all. And they'd point out, you know, he'd say, oh, I made a mistake. I know I made a mistake at this point in the game. But the tactician would be able to point out, you know, 4-5 seconds before that where the mistake actually originated from. Because more often than not, it originates from a point earlier than you realise. You're out of position for one reason, or you're getting drawn for one reason into the wrong place, and that's what causes you to make that mistake. And he seems to read that very well, and that's why he's been so solid for us at the back, but he's also got the ability to push forward and create some opportunities. So he's been a fantastic signing for us.
Overall, very exciting. I know we said at the top of the show that it's only two games. The press is cracking, it's aggressive, and it's most importantly, it's attacking as well, and it's winning the ball high at the pitch, and it's contributing to some really good performances, as we say, two games into Mussino's stewardship. He's really allowed the group to unwind a little bit, if that's kind of the right term of phrase to use, play the football they want to play and look like they're actually enjoying their football as a result. And as we mentioned, the question is, where's it been all this time? Has it been hidden behind a cover of lack of confidence, or is it the managerial change? Colby Bishop said post-match to one of the reporters at Pompey that, you know, they've kind of stripped it back to basics and Mussino's simplified things a little bit for them. Is that a criticism of Cowley, perhaps, to say maybe we were trying to overcomplicate things a bit? Or is it just a case of this renewed and we've started to... Maybe the pack goal completely kicks that off and go, you need that moment, that star quality moment to just go, yep, we can do this and instill a bit of confidence? Or is it more than that for you?
I think there's obviously a lot of factors to why it's changed. I don't necessarily think that this is a negative on the Cowleys. We've said this 100 times over. I think they were very much victims of the circumstance of what was going on at that point in our football. You know, we've been in this league for however many years now, 7 seasons, which isn't easy. And especially as a Pompey fan with all this expectation going into every year. And the 5 seasons previous of disappointment and getting to the playoffs and not getting through and, you know, going to Plymouth away and having to drive back that distance, all those kind of things kind of come back to you. And I think that the Fratton obviously went quite negative at the point the Cowleys were there. And I not necessarily think that's entirely down to them, obviously the run of performances, but there was a lack of confidence there, both from the fans in the team and from the team in themselves. And I think that they feed off one another. You know, we all have bad days and we all know what it's like. And sometimes when we actually talk through our problems with someone who's less involved,
this is true.
You come out of it thinking, well, actually, why was I so worried about that in the first place? And sometimes
you think that's happened here.
Yeah, and I think sometimes it's just that change, isn't it? You know, they might be concerned, they might have been worried about their performances, but actually when you boil it down and you open it up and you go, well, is that much of a big deal? No, let's go out and play football that we can play and showcase what we can do and what we can offer. I think it's shown that the changes was obviously needed by the players. Whether it was down to the Cowleys being over technical or not, I don't think that's really that much to be said on that. I think there's more to do with just that need of extra confidence. Because at the end of the day, it's the same players. The starting 11 really hasn't changed, has it?
But maybe the ideas had got a bit stale, perhaps?
Yeah, potentially. Maybe it was repeated. You know, I mean, we saw it under Jacket for years, didn't we? We said about how he's technically so unaware. We played a 4-5-1 week in, week out that didn't work. And we kept playing it at home time and time again. And yeah, we used to get 1-0s and 2-1s and we kept ourselves in and around the 6th to 4th place in the league and got ourselves in the playoffs and we won a couple of cups. In that time, we got to the final of 2 cups, 1-1. And, you know, we had a good run under to Jacket to an extent, really, in terms of consistency. But it was boring. And I think that's something that the fans don't want to see. They want to see exciting, pressing, attacking, aggressive football where we score goals.
What do you make of the 3-5-2? Well, I say a 3-5-2. It's not. It's a 4-3-3. It's not even a 3-5-2. It's a 2-5-3, really, where you've got Swanson and Ogilvy are getting all the way up to the halfway line.
Or is it a 2-2-3-3?
No, but if you look, I'll try and find you the picture, but if you look at our average positions for the Exeter game, I haven't seen one that conforms to what we've been doing against Fleetwood. But if you look at where we were in an average position, you can see we're sat back with Raggett and, for the purposes of the listeners, of which there are all of you are, I'm showing Ollie this picture and it's kind of a bit of an infographic basically, and it shows our average position. A, it's very structured. B, it's not a 4-3-3, is it, by any stretch? And no, Ogilvy is your 6 and Sonson is your 2, overlapping completely. You've got that 2-5 in the middle and then that very solid front three.
I think what is shown from that quite clearly is that the concept in that game is very much control the ball in the middle of the pitch. You know, it's not to sit back, it's not to absorb pressure, which is quite nice to see, because that's not what we want to be doing. We don't want to be in this 4-5-1 situation that we used to play, where we used to just soak pressure, and then break with two fast wingers, and that's basically all we used to do. We're now in a position where we've got, in effect, like you said, for the majority of the game, two at the back. The wing backs are both pushing forward high up the pitch to join the midfield, and that allows our current wingers to push into a more aggressive attacking position to surround the striker and obviously try to get into the box and create more opportunity. So I think that form of formation obviously has worked for us in terms of the last two games. Now, that's not to say that's going to work in every game. You know, certain teams are going to learn to read that as well. And that's one of the other things that you kind of forget about with a manager change, is that teams coming into those games like Exeter and Fleetwood, they don't really know what to expect in terms of our setup. You know, under Jacket, everyone could predict what we were going to do. And like teams like Charlton used to come, and we know that we haven't won a game to Charlton at home for however...
2005.
Yeah, for however many years. And I think that's just down to the fact that they set up to play against us, and they played against us well in those occasions. We've said it time and time again, even under Jacket, when we lost 2-1 at home that Tuesday night, I remember going to it. And we were 2-0 down in the first half. We managed to get a goal back in the second half. But they did what they needed to do early doors, and they played against us.
And teams can't do that anymore, is that what you're saying?
I'm saying that it's harder for teams to read what Messina is going to do, because they don't really know what he's going to do. They don't really know what our setup's going to be and how we're going to play on the pitch.
How long is that going to last for?
Well, yeah, but that's up to him to chop and change it and to make it different and to encourage the players to play in a certain way against different teams and to build on the squad he's already got. Because obviously the squad he's got is going to push him into playing in one type of formation. Because he's only, you know, if you're struggling for, you know, a left-back that's going to get forward, you're not going to play a left wing back who's going to start traipsing up and down the pitch. It's not a role that any player can just play. You know, you need to be the right sort of player to play that role. Unfortunately, we've got Swanson, who's obviously doing that extremely well for us on the right. And obviously Ogilvy's been pushing up on the left. But I think it's, you know, obviously at the moment, we're going to really play the formation that the team allows for the players that are fit. I think come the summer, you'll see there'll be a bit of an overhaul. There'll be a bit of a change in the team in certain areas. I wouldn't like to start speculating where at this point.
Well, let's still talk about the summer. Let's maybe think about January transfer window, because we've still got, what, 6 days, five by the time you're listening to this, of it to go. There, obviously, Michael Morrison's left the club as of this afternoon and gone to Cambridge, which we kind of saw coming over the last week or so, which I don't think is a major loss with all respect to Michael Morrison. And obviously, Riley Towler's come in, who was a chap that I wanted to speak to you about. He's really impressed. Obviously, still very young, but confidence on the ball, more than happy with it at his feet, and he needs a breath of fresh air alongside Sean Raggett. People say we need, or should have, someone in the pipeline to come in and replace Morrison. Bear in mind that the two fit centre-backs at the moment are both starting in our 11. So obviously Clark Robertson's not quite there, and Morrison's now gone now. So I say Clark Robertson's not there. He's going to be out for a couple of months. So we're a little bit light in that area at the moment. And then someone who can come in on the left wing and perhaps provide that flair and tenacity that Owen Dale gives you, just to even that up. Roland's out for a couple of weeks now. Obviously rolled his ankle at Fleetwood. Rico doesn't quite give you that spark 9 times out of 10 that Owen Dale might. Perhaps he maybe tries to beat his man once too many times. So, yeah, we can kind of chat January transfers. Is that the two positions that you think you'd want to shore up, or is there a little bit more to it than that for you? Because it's only really going to be one or two, probably, I would imagine.
Yeah, I mean, because
there's only room for one or two, because we're almost at our limit in terms of players.
Yeah, and that's going to be the tricky thing for us to manage, isn't it? Is to figure out what positions are the most vital ones at this point, with Messina only being there for two games. Mm-hmm. Obviously, he'll have his ideas about where we need to improve the team. I think everyone listening is probably in the same mindset of us, that, you know, our strikers, we've got quite a good strength in depth there. We've got quite a good array of strikers there, you know, especially if you can get someone like Dane Scarlett playing to a better, more confident level and start seeing him score some more goals. It'd be great to see that as well. So I wouldn't say our concerns are there. I think our wingers are in good places, in honesty. I think Dale's been fantastic. How long is Mingy out for, do we know at this point?
We don't have a sort of solid, but we know he was, well, we both saw him at Tottenham Hotspur with a cast on, didn't we? So you can expect him to be out for a little while.
Yeah, so we're obviously, that's probably the only place where we're missing a player if we get an injury. But we can't really go, oh, what if we get an injury here? Where, you know, I think at this minute there's more pressing positions that need replacing. You know, we've got a great little partnership with Morel and Pack in the middle, which seem to be working very well for us. And obviously some two very good quality players of different sides of the spectrum, really. Obviously Pack being a bit more experienced, Morel being a bit more youthful.
Morel's got experience.
Yeah, don't get me wrong.
He's probably one of our most experienced players behind Pack.
He's got a lot of experience, but comparably to Pack, I would say Pack's got a chunk more there. Just for the length of career, to be honest with you. Obviously, he's been around a bit longer than Morel, hasn't he? Morel's still only mid-20s in reality, but he has obviously had that opportunity to play at such a high level like he did for Wales in the World Cup and in those kind of stadiums. So that's obviously going to give him a great bit of experience as well.
To be fair to you, Marlon's probably got 200 career appearances on Morel, but you know, it's kind of, it's one of those, isn't it, where they are in relative to this Pompey side, they're probably two of our most experienced.
Yeah, exactly, and I think that's probably why they're able to play so well together like they have been.
And they do know each other from Bristol City, of course, as well. We should point that out.
I would say, from what I've seen, we probably need another good centre back. Towler coming in is obviously a massive boost for the club, I think. Losing Morrison, like we said, it's not the biggest loss in the world for us, I don't think. But I do think that we need someone in that position who's going to be more of a regular in the team, looking to play in the Championship, rather than a League One centre back.
Marlon's got about 400 appearances on Morel. Just want to point that out there. So
don't question me again.
No, I wasn't questioning you. I was questioning myself when I said 200. I thought maybe that's not the case. Anyway, yeah, great. Let's fight on, because we want to crack on, and we've spoken about that. Morel obviously got sent off, didn't he? And it put us a little bit under pressure. A bit of a harsh sending off, second yellow for a handball that was all right, at which point we obviously sit in and relish a bit of a challenge from Fleetwood with 11 against 10 at a place like where we were playing at the, what's it called? Highbury. I did go there. It can be an incredibly unforgiving place, and we rode the storm and we got that second, which Riley Towler almost scored. Let's look ahead to Peterborough this weekend then. We've obviously got another away trip.
By the way, I know we just skipped over that quite quickly. But I think...
Sorry, we've got stuff to do.
I know. I think that it does show, obviously, with the way that we're playing as a team. I think if we were in the old setup, maybe under the Cowleys, not necessarily because of the Cowleys, but when we were in that position and that mentality as a team, if we'd gone 1-0 up and then we'd lost a player, we may have thrown away that game.
Yeah, this is so very true.
It shows a lot of courage from the team to go and not only win with 10 men... So not just concede one except a draw, but to go out and score another goal towards the end of the game, I think shows some real attitude about the team and how our mindset's maybe changed a little bit under John.
Thank you. Sorry, I don't know why I thanked you for that, but I think it's a very good point to compare the two premierships, absolutely. We're expecting an incredibly tough weekend game upcoming, off to Posh, Peterborough United, which is a very unforgiving place as well. I suppose they all are in League One. Two very similar sides, recent managerial reshuffle, seemingly two sides back on an upward trajectory. I know ours is maybe slightly less time than Peterborough have had under the reappearance of their manager. Good start to the season and an impromptu tailing off in form for both of us. Johnston Clark-Harris is obviously the number one threat that we all know about. Whole host of talent in this Posh setup. Joe Ward is a name that comes to mind, who was rumoured to be coming to Pompey at one point, but that obviously didn't materialise. And should a win come our way, we then go above Peterborough, and then we're back within 3 points of a playoff spot. And that's, of course, an ideal scenario and best case scenario. But it does perhaps symbolise Pompey's upward trajectory right now.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I think Peterborough are massively underperforming this year as well. You know,
they're a championship side, aren't they?
Yeah. At the start of the season, everyone had them up for promotion in their minds. They're a very good passing side. They're a very strong side. They play a very good game of football at probably a better level, or should be at a much better level than League One. So I think that it's going to be a difficult difficult game going away.
W-A-I-N, Wayne. Sorry, it's a little Michael McIntyre throwback, that one, as you were. Sorry, carry on.
So I think going away is obviously going to be a tough battle. it really is going to be a tough game there. You know, we're on a good winning streak, and like you said, we're moving in the right direction.
Two?
It's good. It's much better than it has been. It's better than it has been since October.
So, we've won twice as many games than we had for the whole period before that, haven't we?
Exactly. So we've got even twice as many. We didn't win any.
No, so we've won 200% more then.
No, because we haven't won any. You can't have a percentage more than zero.
Can you not?
200% of zero is still zero.
There's the mathematician in the house for you, everybody. It's definitely not me. That's why he's on this podcast. If I'm doing it by myself, I'd embarrass myself with numbers.
In essence, we're obviously on an upward trajectory, but then what was Peter's most recent results? They beat Port Vale, they lost to Wycombe Wanderers, and they beat Milton Keynes. So they've won two in the last three. We've won, obviously, back-to-back. It would be amazing for us to go away to Peter and get a win this weekend. That would be a dream start to the Mourinho era.
But people still wouldn't go. We will still go. Let's not get excited if that does happen.
I think that we're always a bit pessimistic because we've seen these winning streaks before, and you know we don't need to get too carried away because you look at the teams that typically get promoted in this league and get you into the playoff spots. You know, over the course of a season, if you're winning, you know, 50 to 60% of your games, you're going to be there or thereabouts come the end of the season. So, you know, even if we lost against Peterborough, I don't think it's the end of the world, as long as we can go out and we can put in a good performance.
It's a bit embarrassing.
That's a lovely message. We don't want to get too carried away. We want to, you know, obviously we want to go out and win every game. We want that attitude of winning every game. And if we do get a win away at Peterborough, I think it really will stamp some authority on this John Mourinho era for Portsmouth. But I think that we don't need to lose sight of the fact that if we don't get the win away, if we manage a draw away, whatever it might well be.
Draw's a result you take.
A draw's a result you take away. If we lose away, it's not the end of the world. As long as a team are putting in a good performance, and we show some real heart and some real courage, and you don't just fade away to a 4-0 loss away.
Which is what we were doing for the last couple of weeks.
We need to really just go out there and put that performance, but not lose the confidence in it.
Yeah.
That I think that'll be a big telling factor, is even if we go 1-0 down, that attitude of coming back out and giving it a good go and creating some opportunities. You know, if we went away and lost 1-0, but we actually did a lot of good stuff in the game, I don't think anyone would be disappointed in that.
Yeah.
Obviously, we want to see that win. We want to get back into playoff places. But let's not lose sight of the fact that we've still got 20-odd games left in this season. It's a long time and a lot of opportunities for points there to get us back in those playoff positions.
Yeah, absolutely. And you also look at the games that are then upcoming post-Peterborough. I'm thinking Barnsley at home and then Plymouth away. And then actually, once we're over that hurdle with Plymouth away, and I know it's never easy in League One, but we do have a relatively nice schedule other than a Barnsley away trip over the next month or so after that point. So we're pretty, obviously, but Bolton's still struggling. But by and large, we're pretty good. Bolton aren't struggling, sorry. That might be a struggle against Bolton. By and large, to then towards the end of the season, you're playing a lot of lower league teams.
Yeah, and I think that's going to be of benefit to us to get those tough games out of the way. Like we said, going away to Peterborough.
Other than the derby away on the last game of the season.
Yeah, I mean, that part and parcel. By that point, hopefully, it's all sewn up one way or another for us.
Well, yeah.
That's what you'd like to think.
Don't want to go there with something riding on it, do you?
No, but if you do, then that's an opportunity, again, for the team to show themselves and really put in a performance that we can all be proud of. And even if it takes us into next season in League One, just in a happier space, I think it'll all be worth it. And I'm happy so far with what we've seen from this Mourinho era. I'm very happy to say that he's kind of proven me right in a lot of cases, because I've had a lot of talks with some very negative fans, shall we say, over the last few months, and obviously the few weeks as well since he's been appointed.
Been a week?
It feels like forever, really, doesn't it?
I know.
It's amazing.
But especially if you went to Fleetwood, then it feels like forever.
Yeah.
It really feels like a long time.
But it's nice to see him proving some people wrong. You know, it's going to be difficult for people to not like him if we keep grinding out wins. And I think it's a great opportunity for a young manager to start showing himself. And it's also great to see someone who's fresh off the pitch coming in, because he knows what he wants in a team. You know, he's fully aware of...
I'll give you an example of that. He did a press conference this afternoon and he said, oh, there's loads of players that just want to keep playing and keep playing and keep playing. And he says, oh, I was a player. I remember doing it as a player myself when I'm not quite fit or I've had a lot of game time. You say to your manager you're fit, but you know, you're not actually. You just want to get out there and play your football and impress the manager. He actually said those words. That's perfectly aligned with the freshness that you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly right. And he's obviously come straight off the pitch himself and into this position. So I think it's going to be a big uplift for the players. Mm. Hopefully a bit of a confidence boost as well, because you know he's used to playing within the team. He knows how to expect. He's probably still quite fit as well. I'm not saying Danny Cowley was unfit as a manager, but he's still quite a fit person, so he can get really involved with the boys, show them, you know, physically what he expects, and help encourage them forward. So, and like you said, because he is that close to, you know, what he was like as a player, he understands the thought process of a player and the attitude of a player and all those kind of things. And he's going to be a bit green in some areas. Obviously, there's a lot of a learning curve being a manager. I'm sure it's not a very straightforward job, you know, especially when it comes to like transfers and things like that, that maybe he hasn't been so involved with before. I think it's a fantastic opportunity for him. And given the right, you know, the right people behind him, the right team behind him, the right finance behind him, there's no reason why this Pompey team under him can't be successful.
Well, let's see what the next couple of weeks bring. There was one more item on the schedule that I wanted to get through, but I think we're going to leave that for another time. Mm. But we always want to leave people wanting more, and we're going to leave that for another time. Thank you for joining us. It's been a pleasure. Hopefully you enjoy the rest of your Friday. We've got a big week coming up. It's going to be an important one and perhaps a defining one. And the next time we speak to you, hopefully we'll be celebrating a Peterborough win away from home. As Ollie said, if it's the other two options, then we're not too disheartened as well, because it's been a great start to life. And if the performance is there, then I'm sure we'll all be happy. Score prediction for Borough away?
4-0.
You said that last week. You said that about...
I was halfway right.
You were halfway right. I think we should make it a hat-trick of 2-0 wins. That'd be nice, wouldn't it?
I reckon 3-1 Pompey.
Oh, you reckon we're going to score three goals away at Posh?
3-1.
Wonder how many teams have scored three goals away at Posh this season. I don't think very many of the ham
you heard
them
it.
Have.
You heard it here first, team.
Oh, Wickham did a couple of weeks ago, so there we go. Maybe that's going to happen then. We shall see. All right. We'll take it through on. Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you, everyone, for tuning in and
listening.
People
still enjoying this, by the way. Yeah, they're liking it.
I'm glad you're enjoying this addition to the 4-0 setup. And...
Episode 7, and people are enjoying it still. Thought we'd be off the airwaves by now, but we're still here, aren't we?
Still here and here for the long run, I think.
Yeah, I hope so. I think it's great. I think it gives us a real opportunity to have a chat and clear our minds a little bit. Yeah. Which I think is what the players have been doing at Messinio. So there we go.
Yeah, and if anyone out there has any comments on what you like to hear topics us cover, obviously it'd be great to hear from you. We've had a few good messages in already and a few bits of positive feedback. And if you are enjoying the podcast, don't forget to do what you do with the podcast and give it a
add it, and then it tells you when the new one's up. And then you come back and listen. That's the plan.
Yeah. So if you could all do that, that'd be fantastic. Because that would really help us. The more of you that show the appreciation to the podcast, the more of this we're going to continue to do. So thank you for all listening and tuning in. And also, you know, help spread it. Tell your friends.
Mm.
Keep everyone up to date with what we're up to, because it's nice.
Especially your friends who have dogs and cat. Well, you don't take your cat for a walk, do you? What are other animals you take for walks?
Horses.
Turtles.
I don't know
if there's much room. I don't know if people have podcasts on when they ride a horse. If you're out there and you're listening to this on a horse, then send us a message.
Let us know. Let us know what activities you're doing whilst listening to this podcast, because that would be quite interesting to hear, isn't
it? While I'm talking, I don't know about you.
While I listen to it on a dog walk.
Do you?
Yeah, every Friday morning I put it back on and I have a listen.
Yeah, you like the sound of your own voice, don't you?
I like listening to you.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week. Bye from us. And play up, Pompey.
Play up, Pompey.